And welcome back to Extra Features Energy. Today we have a fabulous director, writer, screenwriter, showrunner, and maybe stylist, but I don't know yet. Her new web series, Chair Gang, has got 26 episodes available on Facebook, and I think that's the only place to get it, but I'm sure she'll tell us otherwise if I'm wrong. Welcome to the show, April Washko.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. An honor to be here.
So let's start. Do you really cut hair?
I used to.
Okay.
I used to. I got my cosmetology license intentionally so I could sneak on sets and have like a shortcut in when I moved to California.
So that is that. I get it. Is that working for you or you're not there yet?
Oh, I already did that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was quite some years ago. So I did that. I did that for a little bit. And I worked in some salons as well until I kind of really started to come into my own and build a career for myself. So it has served me well.
Now, I have to discuss everybody on the show. Does all of them cut hair or they're all fake cutting hair?
Nope. Everyone is an actor.
Okay. I was wondering, I'm sure you get that question a lot, but I think it needs to be asked if you're watching the series.
We have, actually. There was a disclaimer on our Facebook page for a while about, you know, no, we are not real stylists. No, you cannot book appointments with us. We're all actors.
Well, that was a question I had. I'm like, I wonder if this is a real salon, because it does look like a real salon you're using as your location.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So where'd you get the location? Who'd you steal it from? Because you're there for a while.
Yes, definitely. One of our producers and writers from season one, when we were in pre-production and figuring out the entire series and location scouting, he kind of mentioned like, hey, I actually have someone that I knew in high school that owns a place if you want to check it out. And a lot of the locations that we were getting and seeing were very, I don't know, a little too high end. My intention was like a down home salon. So then we found this one and I just knew automatically. I was like, oh my God, this is it. We got real lucky.
So is it closed one day a week? I mean, I know you do a few night shoots and you do day shoots.
Yes, yes. It is closed a couple days of the week. But the woman that owns it, Julie, she's so kind, and she pretty much lets us do anything we want as long as we don't disrupt them. I mean, we could even go there while they were working and the salon was open and do something in a different room if we wanted. Like, she's really wonderful.
So at times I've noticed that certain hairstylists, we'll use the term loosely, actors, disappear for a while. The receptionist disappears. You have, I can't remember her name, the black woman disappears every once in a while. And yourself. I understand why you disappear, because you're busy. You're writing, directing it. I get that. Where do the other ones go? They're just not available?
Oh, no. It's in the storylines of, you know, they're either off for a couple days, or we write them to have a problem, or like my character, she'll quit. Alyssa loves quitting every so often. That's her favorite thing. She just doesn't like it, and she'll decide to leave and come back whenever she so pleases. So we try to keep that as accurate to the real profession as possible, and just to jobs reflect, you know, that, yeah, some people are here, there, and everywhere. But as a salon goes in general, hair salon stylists could quit and not say a word. They could hire new people out of nowhere. So a lot of people kind of come and go in that environment a lot.
You've worked in many salons, and I think that reflects in your work. Would you say they're very chatty? Like, you guys are all catty with each other constantly.
Yeah, unfortunately, the ones I worked at were very dramatic and people were miserable. I mean, a lot of the issues that we touch on in season, like three that is releasing, well, we're filming season three right now and writing season four. And we kind of get more into the issues of why service workers do feel exhaustion and come into those I don't know, stressors. You know, there's no insurance. They're on their feet all the time. They are underpaid. A lot of things can factor into it, especially when you have an environment where you're not necessarily treated the best. So it's a kind of a blown up and exaggerated point, but very much a point and something we want to discuss and shine light on for sure in subsequent seasons to come appropriately.
Okay. I do have a question. Maybe I've missed where it was named. Why is this being filmed? Because they're always talking to a camera. What's the purpose of the filming, I guess, is what I'm getting at in the end.
We don't know yet. We haven't.
Okay, so I didn't miss it because I was looking for that. Go, did I miss something? Because I don't remember saying. Okay, so we don't know who's filming it then?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That was one of my questions. I'm like, am I missing something here?
Nope, not yet. Nothing yet.
Now, when you're developing your characters, and again, you've worked in many salons, we stated that, did you have a definite character for each of your actresses?
Yeah, I had a character list kind of written when I was kind of brainstorming before we started writing the first season of the different types of characters that are in salons, like Corinne, who's super manipulative, Alyssa, that really just dislikes people and can't stand it, Cassie, the bubbly receptionist, Tina, the very... sultry, seductive type of person. So yeah, I had things bullet pointed and jotted down of these are the types of people in salons, and just kind of went from there, and the casting really did itself. I mean, these people, the actors that we got submitting, we still get submitting, are outstanding. So it really, like, I'd watch a tape and be like, oh my God, that is Tina. That is, Corinne. Like, there is no question about it. So it was quite simple to find these people.
Oh, that's good. I was wondering. I mean, I think Tina works really well as the manager. I find she bounces off perfectly. And I think Corinne's your perfect villain. And I like that. Like, I think you needed that. I think you had to definitely, in the early episodes, have those people identified what was going on. It took me a little while to get used to Tina's husband's haircut. I will say that. That just kind of threw me off for a bit. The first few episodes, I'm like, oh, okay. So where does he get that haircut? Does he know it looks crazy? Or is that your plan? Does he have that haircut for the show?
No, that's his thing, man. He digs it, and that's his every day. And I mean, I'm here for it. It's all good.
Okay, no problem. I was just wondering. So he sent his audition tape with that haircut?
Uh-huh, yeah, that's how he rocks. Kevin rocks that all the time. 24/7. That's his jam.
Good for him, then. I'm giving more power to her. I have one point. You're writing the character Corinne. I understand she's a villain. Corinne says she's the best. Why is she working there?
I mean, there are a lot of salons, especially higher-end salons, where the burnout rate is extreme. What is required of you is almost ungodly, and that's a whole other side of why a lot of stylists will turn to drugs and substance abuse to keep up with the fast-paced environments of really high-end salons. But it also speaks to the fact that she's not that great. she has a really loud mouth and can talk a lot of game, but a lot of it's talk. You know, her attitude keeps her from a lot of things and so on and so forth. So she kind of is the place where she will be tolerated for her crap, if you will, to a certain extent.
Now, you're saying you write the show. Now, how many writers are on the show in total?
Each season, there is a different group of people. If people want to move on to the next season, they're more than welcome. I try and keep my show and every department as open as possible. So I aim, when the show gets picked up, to be able to mentor people, give people jobs, help assist people with careers. It doesn't matter if somebody has done it before, if it's on a resume or anything like that. We can work and see what happens. So a lot of the writers that has been on the show thus far have really had an interest in writing and were good writers, you know, and wanted to develop their craft. So they write as much as they want to. And some people, you know, it is a series. It is a lot of work. It's every week. Some people get burnt out. Some people see that it's not for them. So that's why things will be interchanging. And I'm kind of the overseer and the last resort, I suppose, as far as, yep, I decide what officially makes it or not. So we have had, oh boy, a good handful of writers for the show thus far that work with myself to do it. A nice interchanging group of people.
Now, do you bring them a plot? I guess a summary of the season, say we're going to do this, this, and this. I want to end here. Or is that all brainstormed together?
A little bit. I like to do an outline. So I kind of think of a beginning, middle, and end for the entire 26 episodes where I kind of want us to start and where I kind of want us to end. And I encourage anyone's input and feedback and do little bullet points of thoughts and ideas for each character or each episode. Do a little blurb about each character and what I'm thinking about having work for them through the whole season, and then open the floor to the writers and see what they want to do and how they would like to go there and help flesh out a script with them if they want. Season one was very experimental. It was brand new. I look back now and I'm like, wow, we were babies and that was not the best, but still extremely proud of it. We all were learning and jiving about how the hell do we make a series from scratch. So as it has been developing, like now we're writing season four, it's like, oh my gosh, it's a world of difference, but it's so fulfilling to be able to look back and see how much we've grown.
I guess my next question is, regular season American television is 21 to 24 episodes. You're running 26. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason why that number was so special, or you just felt 26 worked the best?
Was thinking about the time for each episode because our episodes aren't necessarily always 20 minutes even. So a little bit more to give our audience episodes every week, or more episodes, if you will, since some of them are shorter and they really started shorter in season one. They've grown right now in four to about 20 minutes, 25 per episode. Sometimes we have the anomaly of, you know, maybe 10 or 15, but yeah, it just felt like it worked. And my best friend, Kyle, who was a filmmaker, and he went to film school, and he was supposed to kind of be my right-hand man, and he was the director and all of that. He unfortunately suffered with a lot of depression and took his own life and committed suicide April 6th of 2011, and 26 was like his favorite number. That was his jam. So when we were kind of talking about, oh, do we want to do, you know, 20? Do we want to do less? Do we want to do more since our episodes are shorter? I just felt like, you know, let's just go with 26. It's a magic number, and we'll just fly with it from there.
Wow, you're going to kill me when I get to season four if I have to watch 25-minute episodes. It's going to be a long
The interview. Fans were demand. They were like, you need them longer. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do this. Like, we put polls up. We're like, what do you guys want? What length of time do you want? What day of the week do you want them out? Like, wow. I mean, they want, like, 45-minute episodes. I'm like, you guys, until we actually get picked up by, like, a Netflix or a Hulu, anybody, we can't do 45 minutes. I'm sorry. So we're doing them as long as we possibly can right now.
Well, here's a good question. How do fans get a hold of you? Because, I mean, I was trying to read Facebook comments and there wasn't a heavily amount of them. So how do they get a hold of you directly? Email?
They can email. They Instagram comments, direct messages, episode comments, lives. A lot of different ways we're trying to open the floor to interact as often as possible.
Have you done any live chats with people, like you and the actors on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How'd that go?
Yeah. Oh, they love it. Which is, bless their hearts. There's a stylist. There's a couple of them that own hair salons that are just obsessed with the show, and they bought televisions and put them in the salon, and they make the whole salon watch the new episodes, which is just so wonderful.
That's awesome.
It's super great. And there's a huge, huge following in Australia, which was so wonderful to learn. There was a fan that had commented on a post that she was making all of her friends at her bachelorette party watch the show, and like they were going to do a drinking game to it. So it's just really cool. It's awesome.
That's great news. You do things in the salon. I have questions about handing out a business card. Is that normally happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've never, in all the years I've gotten a haircut, maybe because I'm a man, I've never received a business card from any place I've ever been to.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, that's one of the big things that, like, you'll get yelled at about. But at least I have, and stylist friends I still know of, that, you know, if you want to build your clientele and you want to keep bringing clientele to this business and keep increasing, you know, ROI, basically, you have to actively seek out clients and let them know you're here and tell them your hours, all that crap.
I figure it'd just be word of mouth from now on.
Yeah, you would think.
Because I mean, men don't really talk about haircuts, but I know women do, and they all go to the same place.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so maybe it's that kind of thing. And the other thing, I mean, I understand the upselling of hair products.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm just getting to the point going, again, I'm like, is this really a thing? You guys have to sell hair products?
Oh, yeah. You don't have a choice. In a lot of salons, if you don't sell, you'll get fired.
Okay. See, these are questions I need to ask because I don't want to find out.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah. Is the dress code for real? Like, there are dress codes too?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You cannot wear open toes. That's against state board regulations, depending the state. You absolutely cannot have your armpits exposed. You have to have, I mean, and then certain salons will go from there about what they want as far as colors, and absolutely no jeans. Some salons, you might have a casual weekend or something, but yeah, just kind of depends.
Okay. I want to ask if this ever happened. Does normally parents getting letting their kids go cut to pay no attention to them?
Oh, so frequently. It's infuriating.
And has somebody ever pissed on the chair? Because I need to ask that.
Absolutely. Several.
Really?
Several. Several.
Okay. Look at that.
Yeah, there was a teenage boy that actually pooped in our lobby one time in a salon I worked at.
That's disgusting.
I know.
Not to really go into much storyline, I really did enjoy the life storyline. Made me laugh so hard.
Aw, thanks.
I thought that was really well done. I thought it worked perfectly. I expected a little bit more of a payoff, but I understand why you didn't give it to me until later. I respect that.
Thanks.
Who tells the actors what to wear? Do they wear their own wardrobe for the show, or do you tell them what to wear?
Yep, they bring their own. We they have different options, and then we kind of pick from that for whatever day.
Now, is it normal for receptionists in salons to learn to be a hairdresser, or they should stay as a receptionist?
A lot of receptionists are going to cosmetology school, so they're actively in school trying to learn it. Some aren't. That's kind of, at least in my experience, rare that they weren't. But they usually have some kind of interest in the industry to some degree. So, yeah, they definitely, there's definitely an interest there. Sometimes the receptionist will be like, you know what, I see this, and no thank you. or it'll go absolutely the other way. Like, I love this more than I thought I did.
You harp on this twice for the first season. Does hair really get in every part of your body?
Every single crevice you would not imagine. You could wear 1,000 layers of clothing, and hair will get everywhere.
Okay, see, these are things I never thought of. as you're filming an episode, do you film one episode and cut in two, or you film each episode individually?
Yep, we film each episode individually.
And how long would that take normally?
We can go pretty fast. The location that we film in is quite small. It's not that big, so we can't really fit a big crew at all. Even the back room, as I'm sure everyone can tell, is very, very small. So it's literally just room for one audio person and one camera person. So since we do have a smaller crew, we can shoot one episode in like 7-8 hours. Okay. And just be done with it. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, you do discuss stylish pet peeves at a time. They include shower, gym, stinky people, crazy moms, sitting still and repeat whatever you want. Are these your personal issues or is this all hairstyle issues?
Pretty much all hairstylist issues. Our secret pet peeves that we cannot say that just bug us to death when we go in the back room and complain about for an hour.
Okay. The role-playing game you play at one point in the movie, you have to do a role-play. Was this something that happened in real life to you?
Oh, yeah. That's actually very, very prominent in classes even and meetings. That happens in a lot of salons. You have to role-play and how are you going to sell a client a product? What kind of phrasing do you use? How do you communicate with clients? Yeah, it's very, very popular for stylists to go through that.
I'm shocked. I'm just learning so much watching this thing.
I know, right? Learning all kinds of stuff.
I am. Now, the customers that you have obviously customers come in and out, and they can't be the same people all the time. You do have a couple repeats, I have noticed. Mm-hmm. Where do you get them? Do you pull them off the street, or are they just friends of the actors, friends of your own?
All actors. They all submit, and they all send their headshots, resume, and go through our little casting and get chosen.
Okay. So I do want to go back to Corinne, because I promised to go in a bit to Corinne. How does she feel she's portrayed? I mean, she must be hated by everybody.
Oh, she loves every second of it. Kimberly Krushan Brooks is so talented. She has done theater all over the world for ages, and she is just an exemplary human being. But she loves it. She loves every comment. She loves everyone saying how much they hate Corinne. She has so much fun doing that part. So she would be honored for anyone to.
Well, I'm just wondering, is she like the nicest person outside of this role? I understand she's an actor doing her job. I was just wondering, how nice is she? She's got to be like the nicest person on the planet, and this is all acting.
Yeah, she's so sweet. I love her to death. I have lunch with her a lot. I talk to her on the phone all the time. She's one of the kindest, most empathetic human beings you'll ever meet. She's the absolute polar opposite of Corinne.
That's what I figured. Have you ever thought, you only did some minor shooting outside. You have a couple shots of people walking into the salon. I think you have a couple shots of a car at one point. Are there any ideas to take this? I haven't seen season two, so I'm just going to base on season one. To take it outside of the salon and go to a different location. Oh, I lie. You do have a dinner party where they all have a meeting.
Yes, house. We do. I have to think back in my brain. I'm like, oh, what season is airing and what's out and what isn't out or what have I written? But yes, there are plans, absolutely, to go outside of the salon. Some of it is difficult because at least at the location, there's like freeways right by there. So it gets very loud at certain times of the day. And yeah, story-wise, we're trying to figure out, like, what's the best way to do this and where can we go that would make sense for these people. But yes, we do absolutely have plans, and I will just say in season four, which we are writing now, there may or may not be an outing at Pauline's house that is just all kinds of doomsday prepper-ish. So, very fun.
Did you always have and decide to end season one on a cliffhanger?
Yes.
And I didn't read the email on the sign, but where does the email go?
That is our email address.
Is it? I didn't look. I was going to write it down and ask you about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to ask her what the email is because I couldn't really see it that well.
Uh-huh. Yep. That is one of our email addresses, of course. But yeah, you email it and you will hear from Janice and Maurice.
So really?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. That I should have. I was going to email it. It really was on my list of things to do, and I didn't get to. That's pretty funny. So, how many emails did you get on that?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. A solid high double digit. I know that.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
And what does they write back?
I believe the first one is. I think was an automated message because we didn't know what was going to happen. And then it was like, oh my God. And then we had a couple producers and, Janine and, Rocco, who play Janice and Maurice, sending a line or two here and there to some people and having a cute little interaction. Yeah.
So you're all around the world, you're international. Have you marketed it? Have you done t-shirts? Have you done posters? What's the next step?
Yeah, we've got a merch store that people can grab merch at. It's zazzle.com/chairgangseries. A lot of it's been word of mouth, which is outstanding. The internet is a beautiful place, and I am forever grateful for it because it's like, I mean, the share button is huge. That's one of the reasons I moved back to Michigan from California was when the internet got pretty big and shows really started happening. You didn't necessarily need to be in California anymore with streaming platforms. So yeah, people are sharing it like crazy and people love the merch. We do street team packs. So a lot of fans signed up to be in the street team. So we'll mail them different, like kind of advertising and marketing materials they can hand out wherever they want, and, shirts and bumper stickers and cool stuff like that. So it's been a real, family affair, if you will, with everybody, which is awesome.
Now you run a small location. How do you feed your cast and crew? Do you have a normal place you guys go to every Friday, or do you order in, or do you make the food? How does that work? I mean, you're pretty small, I would say, other than actors, and I figured you have maybe three people shooting, maybe four.
Yeah, where we are shooting at, the whole strip mall is cool because everyone there knows we're filming, and so they're all about it. Everywhere where we are, there's a gazillion things around there. So a lot of times, just everyone has their personal preference. We bring a ton of snacks and stuff. You know, I'm a vegan. There's a couple other people that are gluten-free, you know, a lot of stuff like that. So it would get kind of complicated just to, you know, I know a lot of sets will be like, pizza's for everyone, but that doesn't work for a lot of our cast and crew. So, I mean, there's a ton of locations around. So it's everyone's preference to kind of go do their own thing when they want.
Fair enough. Okay, I think we've run through everything I have, because I mean, I really didn't want to get into it too much. But I do have fun questions. I promised you'd be out in half an hour, so I did try to tailor it to that for you.
It is all gravy.
Okay, your three easy questions.
I'm so excited.
Your favorite film?
Oh, gosh. Stage Door.
Isn't it a 1940?
Yeah, Ginger Rogers, yes. Catherine Hepburn, Lucille Ball.
Oh, my God. I was trying to remember. I'm like, I know I've seen it. I'm like, that's old, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good one. You tried to test me. Good work.
Thanks.
Your favorite movie snack, since you're a vegan, I'm dying to hear what you bring in.
Movie snacks. Oh, goodness. You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of candy is vegan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, something gosh. I don't what was eat. The last? Yeah, Sour Patch Kids are vegan. Oh. I have the watermelon ones.
Hold on. Don't they have – they don't have gelatin in them, though?
No, not the watermelon.
Okay. Not questioning.
Red vines are vegan. Yeah.
Asking, I don't eat them normally. So not being a vegan doesn't matter to me. I will not eat them.
That's all right.
Yeah. Anything high fructose, I just don't like it.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I'm trying to cut the sweets out myself. It's tough.
That's all good. So do you still have DVDs collection, by the way?
I do.
Good. So this question will work then. If I looked at your shelf, what movie would stand out as not supposed to be there?
Gosh. Really, anything modern. Like, I think I have, I have the Grace and Frankie box set, the show, and that's, like, it. Everything else is 40s, 50s. Stuff. Oh, I don't. Wow. I a lot of everything I watch. People ask me like, oh, what's your favorite movie star? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? I'm like, I definitely appreciate cinema, obviously, or I wouldn't be doing what I do. But my favorite films and the ones I consume are, I mean, everyone in them is dead. That's
so I'm seeing a lot of. I'm thinking a lot of Catherine Hepburn movies. From what when yes. you write, I would say Philadelphia Story would be on there. Bring Up Baby would be on there.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of Catherine Hepburn off the top of my head. Philadelphia Story.
All of them. The Big Street.
I can see all that
oh,
there.
Oh, gosh.
And now you told me Ginger Rogers. I'm going to see Top Hat. I'm going to see Blaming Down to Bring It Down to Rio.
Yep.
Now, yep. I do go noir, too. Do you have, like, Gun Crazy on there? Detour?
I have Detour. I have so many. A lot of them, I'm like, I see it, and I'm like, I have to have this, but I haven't seen it in ages, but I own it.
Okay, fair enough.
So I know I have a lot of those, too. I have to.
I know I can find your series on Facebook at Chair Gang. Where else can I find it? Is that the best place to find it?
That is definitely the most active. That's kind of where the community lives and everyone kind of interacts. We are on YouTube as well. It's just kind of uploaded onto our channel on YouTube. And yeah, primarily Facebook. We're looking at some other platforms right now, so stay tuned, and we may be expanding significantly very soon.
That's awesome news. Thank you for your time, and have a great evening.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.